And welcome back, everybody. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Tomorrow morning, thousands of runners will gather in Howard County to run the Maryland Half Marathon to raise money for the University of Maryland's Marlene and Stuart Greenebaum Cancer Center. Traditionally, one of the most essential pieces of equipment that runners wear is a watch. Race officials will have the elapsed time of the race posted throughout the course, but most runners will be closely monitoring their individual times to make sure that they're not going too fast or too slow to reach their finishing time goal. And chances are good that tomorrow, a lot of runners will be monitoring more than just their splits from mile to mile. We are in the age of self-quantification. The Fitbit, the Misfit, the Nike Plus, and a host of other wearable tech devices track everything from how many steps you take in a day to how much REM sleep you're getting. I recently sat down with our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle, and I asked her what collecting all this data might mean for the future of research into how we can improve our health.
Up until now, we haven't really looked at this as a useful research method because it seems so anecdotal. You know, you keep track of what you're interested in and you draw conclusions about what's helping you run faster or sleep better. But then that's still just an anecdote. But so much of this data is being collected, and not just about exercise, but about every possible facet. There's this whole movement called biohacking, where people are collecting data on their blood sugar and their, you know, their weight and their workouts and their diet and their sleep habits and trying to improve themselves. And that, I guess, is entertaining. You can go to a whole conference just to learn how to be a better self-quantifier. But lately, some researchers have tuned in and thought, gosh, you know, it's a shame to let all of that data go unmined. And so people are starting to think, if we could get all of that stuff in one place and improve the quality of the data, what could we learn that would apply to more than just you and your marathon time?
Because this kind of, it upends the normal research method. It sort of stands it on its head, because usually you say, okay, we'll take a survey of, you know, 100 people, 1,000 people, 20,000 people, and we'll maybe have some of them do one thing and others of them do the other thing, and we'll see which works out the best. It's not asking the same question of 20,000 people. It's asking different questions of just one person.
That's right. And that is part of the problem, is that, you know, when you have all these people doing their own little experiments of one, nobody there is controlling the variables in a centralized way and making sure that everybody's asking the same questions in the same way. And that's definitely a weakness here. But on the other hand, the sheer volume of data that is being generated, especially by people who are really trying to be very serious and very very rigorous about the way they collect their data, does offer the opportunity anyway to take a look and say, you know, because that kind of research that you're describing, you take 10,000 people, you put half on one regimen, it's very expensive. It's very complicated. We can't do nearly enough of that kind of research to answer all the questions that we have. So if all of this data that's being collected by individual self-experimenters could be aggregated carefully, it can only add to the body of evidence. And there's been an increasing number of journals and medical articles among research professionals saying, look, how can we make this more valid? How can we learn what can be learned about these experiments of one? I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, so they are working on sort of adopting the current methods of data collection into viable, trustworthy research formats.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things they're doing. One is setting up websites to help people understand how to collect better data, how to control their variables. Another one is a website set up to suggest, here's an experiment you might want to try. We have a bunch of other people doing this same experiment. Here's how you do it. Log in, share your results with us. We'll try to take a look at this from a bigger angle. So Ian Eslick is one of the guys that's really into this. He's out of MIT. He wrote his dissertation on this. He's launched a website called personalexperiments.org. And he's all about, you know, harnessing this data for the public good. And one of the things he's trying to do is help people conduct better experiments so that the data is more usable.
Monica Reinagle, she's the nutrition diva on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So there are some places, there are websites and stuff that aggregate this data that comes from all these different things. There's one called the Quantified Self-Access Program.
Right.
It's funded by this big foundation. I mean, this is really an effort to compile this data and stuff. Have they come up with any results so far, or is it still too early in the game?
I think it's still too early in the game. They're really trying to work out the details of how do we make sure that the data is usable? You know, how do we shape what's coming in so that, you know, there's that old saying, garbage in, garbage out. So right now they're trying to clean up the garbage on the front end so that they can do better analysis on the back end.
I was interested when I plugged my thing in for the first time and it put it on this website and stuff. It compared me to everybody else in my age group, you know, and it gave me a little pat on the back. Oh, you're doing more exercise than most people, etc. And that's all lovely. But I wonder about the privacy concerns here. I mean, if people, you know, can steal your identity with your credit card information and your social security number, if they start knowing what your blood sugar levels are, or if, you know, any medical problems that may be indicated by the data for your one account. I wonder, that's worrisome to me.
Well, I know that some of the pharmaceutical companies are interested in the data that are being generated by self-tracking devices, because just as you just suggested, if they can identify the people who are worried about their blood sugar, that's a great way to target their marketing. So that's one good reason to do what none of us ever do, which is to read the terms and conditions of whatever apps and websites we're registering for and where we're uploading our data. So that's a good caveat to put into place, that there are privacy concerns that we should think about.
Monica Reinagle is the nutrition diva and a regular contributor to our program on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. We'll have links to Monica's blog, Nutrition Over Easy, and her weekly podcasts at quickanddirtytips.com. Good luck to everybody who's running the Maryland Half Marathon tomorrow morning. It launches from Maple Lawn Boulevard in Fulton at 8 o'clock. All proceeds will support the Marlene and Stuart Greenebaum Cancer Center at the University of Maryland. Before we go this morning, we want to let you know about a couple of special concerts taking place this weekend. Prince is playing Sunday night at the Royal Farms Arena, as you've no doubt heard, but he is by no means the only show in town. The gifted conductor, pianist, and composer Darren Atwater will lead the Soulful Symphony in a One Baltimore concert for protest, hope, healing, and common ground. Soul singer Mesa Leek will join Darren and the Soulful Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. Concert is at 3 o'clock Sunday at the Meyerhoff in Baltimore. The event is free, but it is sold out. We'll have a link to information about tickets in case some do become available. And Marin Alsop and the BSO are also giving a free concert tomorrow afternoon. They're teaming up with the Baltimore Symphony Youth Orchestras, the Baltimore School for the Arts, the Peabody Conservatory, and singers from Mount Lebanon Baptist Church and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. We'll be performing music of Beethoven and others at noon tomorrow at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church on Reisterstown Road, that's right across the way from Mondawmin Mall. Students from the BSO Orchids program will also perform at that event. Sheila spent some time with some of the Orchids interns this week. You can hear their conversation on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. That's all for us this morning. On behalf of the entire Marilyn Morning team, we wish all the moms out there a very happy Mother's Day. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be back Monday. Have a great weekend.